Hello there, I'm Lee Brown, and welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I'm talking to an Austin realtor, and that's Austin, Texas, and she is a really smart former corporate bulldog bringing her smarts to real estate. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. If you're a realtor, it's something you can take back to your clients and your community, and if you're a normal person, I'm going to give you some questions you should be asking courtesy of Kat. So enjoy this episode with Kat Ashley. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Tell my audience, who is Kat Ashley? I already gave the little hint away that you're in the Austin market. So tell them how long you've been in real estate, whatever we need to know about your real estate life.
Okay, so I've been in real estate going into my fourth year here and always been in the Austin metro area, and I absolutely love it. So it was actually before this whole boomtown era happened, right? Because of COVID, we've obviously had so many transplants coming from East Coast, West Coast, you name it. And so I got my feet wet before the industry went completely insane the past couple of years, which was great. And prior to that, I was actually in a corporate environment. I always knew real estate was kind of my deal. In fact, graduating high school, you know, they ask you that question, right? And you're getting ready to go to college and choose your college. Like, Kat, what do you want to do? And I was like, I just want to do real estate. Like, I don't know what else I would do. And so my parents, love them to death. They had the very traditional corporate route, which I think a lot of like that generation did, to be honest. It was kind of like ingrained in them. You go to school, you get a bachelor's degree, and then you move on, right? And so that's what I ended up doing. So I could always have something to, quote, fall back on, even though like that's not really the entrepreneurial way of doing things, right? And so I was in corporate for about 15 years, worked overseas. I had a lot of great opportunities, and I went from Chicago to Nashville, and then from Nashville, obviously, to Austin. And then I was like, you know what? Now's the time. I did the whole corporate thing. I learned about the internal business operations, communications. So now I need to like put it to work and do what I wanted to do. And so that's kind of how I got started in real estate. But let me tell you, my first year, I started guessing everything. I was like, oh my gosh, I think I made like less than $10,000 in commissions. And I was just trying to find my way, right? And luckily I didn't give up because it changed drastically since then. But it's kind of one of those like humbling experiences because you're so used to this like W-2 life, getting paid really well, continuously or consistently, I should say. So yeah, wouldn't go back to corporate, even if you paid me $1 million.
There's two things I picked out of that are really interesting to me. The honesty you have, the humbling that you had to take coming from obviously being a high flyer when you're doing international work, you're not the lowest of the low in that corporate environment. When you're getting relocated, your skill set is in demand and you're obviously at a higher level in your career. You're on a good trajectory. Then you come into real estate and you're like, holy crap, this is hard. And where are my accolades? Because there's some of that that goes on in that humbling process. They don't know who I am. They don't know how smart I am. They don't know I was doing really good before. What is happening here? So it's definitely an opportunity to make a decision. And we know in this business, some people can take that humbling and become amazing. And some people take that bruising and say, you know what? I'll go back to the comfortable space. Because obviously in corporate, it can get comfortable whether you like it or not, because you know what's expected and you know what to do and you know the hours you're going to work, and real estate never provides that ever. But the second thing you mentioned that I think is really intriguing is that you wanted to do this as a high school graduate. And it's very seldom that you meet any young person who's like, I dream of getting into real estate, unless they've watched Selling Sunset and they want to be, good Lord, please. It's not why they wanted to get into real estate for that trash. But anyway, What was it about real estate that made you even mention that at 18? Had you visited model homes with your mama? Were you the person who has your Barbie dream castle and you redesigned it all the time?
I think it was kind of twofold. While we didn't have Selling Sunset back then, well, when I was growing up, we certainly had like the HGTV. And I was always watching that show every chance I could get. I loved how they would just completely transform a room or a house. And so that kind of started, I think, the idea of it. But then I lived outside of Chicago in the suburbs, and my godfather lived in Texas in the Dallas area. And every summer I got to come and visit him. Well, it was a very different market, right? Different styles of homes. And even to get into a home back then, all of these new construction homes would just be completely open. They were completely finished. And we would just, my aunt would take us and we would go in and out of these homes, just looking and kind of like dreaming. And I think that like those two things combined really just like lit the fire in my belly. Like, oh, I love this. Like I could see myself doing something in this space.
We do not endorse you wandering into new construction without permission, without supervision. Our professional opinion is that if you want to go look at new construction, please talk to the builder's agent so that you don't experience any accidents or liability. Okay, so there's our asterisk for the show. You looked at the styles of the area you were in. How much of that do we miss? Because so many people are buried in these and they're going for a walk and they're not even looking at the street they're on. So they could be in a different market where the real estate styles are wildly different. They never see it because they're staring at the endless rabbit hole of crap on TikTok instead of staring around themselves. And I love that you had grownups as a young person who took you out and fed that curiosity. Curious now. So you're 4 years in, so you're starting to hit the stride of, okay, people know this is a real thing for me now. And my name is starting to get associated with real estate because it takes several years to really build that up. So I got to ask you, Kat, what are you going to do in that space of being like your godparents who fed your curiosity? Are you going to go to the high schools and talk about real estate as a career and tell them you were 18 and interested in it and they can do it too? Because I kind of think you have to. It's such a great story.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, it's interesting because as of lately, you know who Ramsey is, right?
Like Dave Ramsey?
Yeah. So he has this program and it's not necessarily about real estate, but it's about like the financials. And I think that's such a key part to understanding, especially for the younger generations.
Are you talking about Financial Peace University?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. But it's basically, so me as a business owner, I can sponsor school and bring this financial program to these types of schools. And maybe that's just something to incorporate with it, right? I haven't gotten too deep into it. What exactly are they covering? I just know his principles and his books and stuff like that. And I think that's such an essential part to teach the younger generations, you know, about the opportunities that are out there and how to set yourself up for future wealth, future generations, and that sort of stuff. So it's actually kind of interesting that you mentioned this because I'm like here in the back of my head trying to figure out ways like, okay, so if I did this, what school, and, you know, trying to get all these logistical matters in place. So it's kind of ironic that you bring this up.
I've done the program. It's called Financial Peace University, and that's for adults, but there is a teenage version, Financial Peace University for teenagers. The thing you have to know, though, it is Christian-based, and so you'd have to probably work through a private school or a charter school that doesn't mind having the faith-based education brought in. Obviously, the ISDs and the public schools probably going to push back on that, especially in the Austin Blueberry market that you're in there. Still, it's a great opportunity, or even to work with the church to sponsor the program because it's great. But if they push back on it because of its faith basis, there is a wonderful game by Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Yeah, I sure have.
Great book. And so he designed a game called Cash Flow. It's a board game and it's a really expensive. It's like $80 for this board game, but there's a whole reason for it being expensive and you can buy it online. I buy it from Robert's website so that I'm not buying it just from Amazon. I like to make sure the dollars go back to the creator. But kids dig this game. And the way that it works, you could actually go into the school and be the proctor of the game and be the Bob Barker if you wanted to. And so you look at the game, you draw a job. And so the job that you get might be a teacher, you might be a doctor, you can be all kinds of different income levels. And then you have to learn how to budget. And then you draw cards in the game. And I'll never forget, my daughter drew a card one time that her role she had was a teacher. And you have to create a little budget. And it said, take your friend for coffee, $10. And she's like, I don't have $10 for coffee. And I was like, do you not now? No. Did you know that those dollars are finite, that you're over there swiping on your little gift cards? It was a really great learning moment for her. But you should check into both of those, because if you're linking about going into that space, and we should tell you guys, it is a really good way to build your long-term real estate business, because an 18-year-old is unlikely to be your client base right now, but they do have parents. And frankly, if we would teach more 18-year-olds about this plan, they could buy a house when they're 23 or 24, quit listening to the mainstream media. So anyway, there's a couple of homework assignments for you, because it sounds like you're halfway down that road, but you should definitely take Financial Peace University yourself. It's a great class. And I know that some of y'all viewers and listeners have your own disagreements with Dave Ramsey. I do too, whatever. But you take any educational class and figure out what's going to help your life. And then you ignore the things you disagree with, which is frankly just life advice anyway. So anyway, that being said, Kat, you know, the purpose of my show is obviously the crazy things in real estate and things you never expect to see. And even in 4 years, which is obviously the beginning of a long time in real estate for you, you've seen something that you are definitely surprised by and you're already shaking your head. So I can't wait to hear what you've seen in your time in the business already.
Yeah, well, there's actually a few things, and a lot of this seems to be around the new construction space. I deal with, of course, resale, but then new construction is a large base as well of my clientele. And what has been so interesting, so we kind of already touched on this earlier, is that during this like boomtown era, right, because of the whole COVID situation, we had so many people moving here, which caused exponential growth, not just from real estate as a whole, but then especially new construction. So we had a lot of these situations where people were coming in, but they were waiting like 2 years for their dream home to be built because of supply chain issues. And then the trades, they just pick up and randomly leave and go to the next highest paying job. And then they can't find any qualified trades. So it just became this cluster, you know what? And so I'll try to refrain from swearing on this, but yeah, so it just became a hot mess, right? So one of the things that we as realtors were faced with was the idea that we cannot really redline or strike out any provisions within the builder's contract. So the builder's contract was what it was. We had to articulate very clearly to our clients, like, hey, this sounds kind of crazy, but of course, this contract is going to be in favor of the builder, right? But if you really want this home, unfortunately, this is kind of like your only choice. And I'm just being real with you. I don't want to waste your time. And so we get under contract and, you know, the contracts are all over the place from builder to builder, right? Some of them have these escalation clauses and others, they do not. So one of these builders was based outside of the Austin market. They're still in Texas, just kind of further away. And that's where their corporate headquarters was. This company had been in business for over 20 years, family owned. And so we're in this neighborhood. And my client, by the way, he was the very first to pick his lot, sign the contract. And I know that because we got special pricing for that. So sometimes it pays to be the early bird. Isn't that the early bird catches the worm or something?
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there.
Now, back to this amazing content.
Ben Franklin said that. So you're quoting like one of the smartest people ever. So good job.
Okay. Well, thanks. I didn't remember who said it. I'm just going to be honest with you, but
friends are for, we back each other up. That's how we do
it. Yeah, that's right. So we have this special pricing, like, yeah, we're going to get this underway. 8 months passes by and there's like nothing happening at this lot. And I'm like, what in the world? Right. So there's two other builders that existed in this neighborhood at that time. And of course, they're competitors, right? They're all competing for the same type of clientele, same price range, that sort of stuff. And so I'm following up as a realtor doing my job, right? I'm trying to get answers like, okay, we gave you a lot of grace, right? We know that there's been an issue in this industry. We know that COVID has been a problem, supply chain issues, like we get it. And we have been so patient. But the lack of communication is just like no bueno right now, right? Because my clients handed over a six-figure check, right? And they're living in a rental that now they're going to have to extend because there's no way they could finish this house in another 7 months, right? They didn't even like grade the property. So anyways, doing multiple follow-ups. So one day I decided, I was like, I'm not getting anywhere with these emails between the sales guys and the various individuals that I had the contact information for. So by the way, was a great sales guy. He did his job perfectly. It's everything since then kind of fell apart, right? And so it's not really the sales guy's issue. And I know this because I understand how the levels of the chain of command work, so to speak. So I asked him, I was like, can you just give me the president's information? Because I'm not getting anywhere between the people on ground, supervisors, operation, whatever these people's titles are. We're not getting anywhere. And I need answers. So I contact, and of course, the first conversation, he goes, Kat, I don't really take calls from realtors. I just want you to know this off the bat. And I was like, well, this is not the way to start this conversation. I was like, okay, all right. So, I mean, any big investment, I mean, this is a very important milestone in a lot of people's lives, right? They may save up for years and years to be able to afford the upgrades that they want in their dream home, whatever it is. And so we can't just act like we're playing with like a dollar here. So he started off the conversation that way. And then I'm standing as I have this conversation. I was physically at the home site and I'm standing in the middle of the street and I'm looking to the right, I'm looking to the left. And he's like, Kat, every builder's having the same issue. So we are not the only guys in town that you're not seeing progress on. And I was like, okay, I think you have to understand that I do this for a living. And I'm trying to really provide you guys a lot of grace, but we're not getting anywhere. And we need some answers here. And he goes, look, the builders in that neighborhood, they're having the same issues. And there are homes on that street. Now, remember, we were the first people to sign. There are homes on that street that are getting ready to close. And I was like, I just have to ask you, like, have you physically visited this home site? He's like, we're in this area. I'm not going to say the area. And I was like, okay, so I would invite you to meet me at the home site so that we can have an intelligent conversation. Because if you saw what I see, you would be having the same type of questions. And so fast forward, he goes, well, I'm not coming out there, but I'm going to send my top management of operations there and he's going to meet you. So I meet this guy. And again, we're kind of up the street and I'm looking up at the home site. And now we finally get like the lot is graded. Okay. So we're getting somewhere, but it's still not enough. And he had the audacity to tell me again, he's like, yeah, Kat, supply chain issues. And I was like, I think that you have other issues going on because I don't understand how these other builders, who by the way are your competitors, are closing out now. And you don't even have one home built and one home closed. I was like, this would like tell me if I were in your shoes that you probably have an operational problem. You have not adapted to your lead production times. You maybe have a trade issue because you're not paying the trades enough to keep the good ones. I was like, I just feel like you have these issues going on. And then just the cherry on top of everything. He goes, I don't think you understand. I am building the CEO's home up in Marble Falls, and it's a lot of stress on me, and I need to finish that out. And I was like, this was in front of my client, by the way. My client who gave a six-figure check. And I looked at him and I was like, I think it like took me a second to realize like he actually said what I think he said. And I looked at my client and then I looked at him and I was like, with all due respect, this company would not exist if it weren't for people like my clients who have put plenty of money down to build their dream home. Without their business, like, you guys wouldn't be building anything for the owner of this company, because it's their money that actually pays your salary that eventually, you know, allows this guy to go and build his next home. I just couldn't believe he had the audacity to do this. So I was like, the whole time during this entire spiel, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm literally going psychotic. Like, do you not see what I see here? So it's been quite the ride.
So did your buyer decide to ride it out with this guy?
Yeah, we did ride it out with that guy. And it was kind of interesting because we did have new construction home. There were some major hiccups. And one of the hiccups dealt with, it was a larger property. So there was a septic. And so at some point, the plumbing, somebody was going to the washroom when supposedly they shouldn't have been, trade workers or whatever. And it started backing up and coming through the toilets. And I remember going to the house and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that stench? And this is a new construction, right? You don't expect anything like this to be occurring. And this didn't happen once, but it happened twice. And that same guy that was telling me that he was so stressed building the CEO's house and that basically the CEO was taking precedent, he also had said, he's like, well, Kat, I mean, we don't really have that big of an issue. It's just water. And I said, I'm sorry, just water? Because this is like where people go to the bathroom. Like, I don't know what comes out of your body, but it's usually not like other people. It's other stuff, right? And it's unsanitary, by the way. So he told me he looked in the septic tank himself and it was only filled with water. And he goes, Kat, everything's good. I looked at it myself. And I was like, I'm sorry. When did you become a certified septic inspector? And by the way, this is like a huge liability issue if you don't remediate appropriately. And so it was just one thing after another, but my clients closed out. And when did they close out? I think like February this past year. And they love the home. They're already building their big pool in the backyard. So, but let me tell you, it was just one thing after another.
The arrogance of, I don't usually talk to realtors, that's still up under my skin. Yes. To ask more or less than. And then to say their priority is internal and not external, and then to ignore a health issue, because we all have a laugh from time to time about septic, but it's straight public health issue. And then to pretend you don't know what's going on when you're the one physically on the ground. And so, friends, you should also know, if you're building a house, there are a lot of builder reps that will say, why would you need an agent? I just present to you this whole scenario because that sales agent was never going to go out there and tell the CEO of his own company, y'all hadn't started this house. Whereas you were able to do it as that representation, Kat. I mean, there's that voice piece that is so important in the whole process, and especially with the length of it. But my second favorite thing was how you switched into corporate speak when you were explaining things to this guy, which cracks me the heck up that you went from talking about the house to exactly how they were structuring their business incorrectly. So high five for letting your past experience come to play for your clients.
Well, it is kind of funny because to this day, we had a close out with like a punch list items, I should say, with a plural S at the end. And if it were up to me, I wouldn't have done it. But my clients really wanted to get in the house, or like if they have to come in and fix things after we close. And I was like, because their rental was going to be coming due. And I was like, look, this is your call. I personally would not be doing this. In fact, I personally would be telling the builder, you need to give me another discount on this house. It's not new construction if you had to remediate, you know, all these other issues, right? And my clients are just amazing individuals, probably a lot more patient than I am. And so we didn't do any of that. But long story short, so even to this day, the president will make sure that he keeps me in the loop with all the corrections that are had to be made as a result of that punch list. So I was just like, I don't know, it's just kind of interesting. But I feel like, to your point, that's why people are like, I don't know if I need a realtor. I can handle this myself. And hey, if you think you can handle it, that's great. But it just kind of deals with the importance. So my clients, they had a budget in their contract with this builder. The builder owns a lot. And then my clients had to provide, I think it was like another six-figure check, basically. But they did a lot of upgrades, like a lot of upgrades. And come to find out, the builder not too long ago had asked us for an additional six-figure check to finish the house. There's no escalation clause in that contract. And luckily, I have an attorney that I work very closely with. And so as soon as I saw that invoice come in, I was like, something's not right here. Sent it over to him. And sure enough, we had a file for legal issues. But yeah, one thing after another. So if you do decide to get into new construction,
the builder was out of money and he needed your clients to basically float him while it was being finished.
Well, he was claiming that it was because they went above and beyond the budget. And I'm like, dude, like, you're the one that put the budget out, right? You should have known how much your materials and supplies were. And if you didn't have that escalation clause, which, by the way, I asked before we signed it, and then I checked to make sure that it followed through. And he was still claiming, because in one section of the house, kid you not, like a 20-foot slab, because of the way the house kind of goes into the hills. Yeah. So my guess is, and this was when cement was high. So my guess is he did not do something properly, but he was trying to put on my clients. And I was like, no, do not pay, because I don't know if this will ever be the end.
But it does explain why you need a realtor in the process, because if you're building a house like that, where you've got a six figures in upgrades, you're probably talking about an executive or a highly busy professional who does not have the time or bandwidth to babysit the process, which is another reason to have a Cat Ashley in your corner to babysit a builder who's maybe got different skills than managing money. We'll just say they have other skills, because I guess your clients loved the house when they got in.
Well, that's another story. We ended up not going with that house after everything, because there was too many things one after another. And I don't even know. I mean, there was tons of liens out there with this builder, like a lot of liens out there. So it just wasn't a good situation. By the way, this builder had been in the industry for years and years and years. This was not a new guy to town.
That doesn't make them good with their money, though. I mean, in real estate, you see very quickly that some builders have gone bankrupt and reformed and bankrupt and reformed and bankrupt and reformed under different names over time because they can. And even if you build a great house, if you can't support that great house or keep it free and clear from liens and encumbrances on title, then it's a headache for the buyers. And it sounds like if there were liens being filed, and frankly, if you're watching this and you're a consumer, you need to ask your buyer agent, realtor, to see what the lien situation is on the builder. Now, if you're dealing with a big national builder, it might feel less of a risk, but in today's corporate environment, you have no way of knowing. And if you're a realtor listening to this, that's a really good question to ask as you're talking to a builder rep, is what is the lien situation here and how are we going to get some protection? Because that's an excellent point in a very weird economy, because I think all we can call it right now, recording this end of May 2023, it's just weird. It feels okay in some areas and rocky in other areas. The more questions you ask, the better off you're going to be down the road.
Amen.
All right, Kat. So somebody's moving to Austin or surrounding areas, and they're thinking about a custom home, resale or new, and they need somebody who's going to come corporate bulldog for them and fuss at a CEO for bad ideas. Who should they call? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, my phone number is 512-484-0243. Otherwise, they can also send me an email at Kat, That's Ashley at cbrealty.com. So CB stands for Coldwell Banker.
Wonderful. And then are you very active with the Austin Board of Realtors? Do you know your CEO, Emily, over there?
I don't know her.
Oh, she's amazing. So I highly recommend that you take your brains and plug it into the trade association a little bit, because I know the Austin Board would benefit from having somebody with your background and expertise volunteering on behalf of the profession. So that's a little plug for the Austin Board there.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into that. It's funny you say that, because I've often thought about it, especially when it comes to like this whole new construction deal. There's so many things we can change.
Then we have to have the voices in the room for it. And I will say that a lot of times realtor members get so busy in their day-to-day business, they don't carve the time out to volunteer. But if we don't have somebody with your expertise in the room, it's hard to craft a better solution for the consumer. So reach out to Emily. She almost will tag her in this episode, and Emily's going to see me plug it in. She's probably going to call yourself.
Okay, that sounds good too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving some inspiration to young people and to corporate people who maybe want to take the risk, and showing us that success might not happen overnight, but it sure does come. I'm so grateful for you sharing your stories and your background.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you so much. And I just love your little firecracker attitude on this podcast. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad that you brought some more firecracker spirit over here. Fussing back at that CEO makes me really proud. I love it. If you enjoyed Kat and you learned something, put something in the comments, give a high five, a thumbs up, a like on this episode. Make sure, maybe there's a couple of other videos linked over here about new construction. If you need some tips, if you're a realtor, we'd love to help you out. Go take care of the consumer. And most importantly, subscribe, hit the bell, and we'll see you back here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or well, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.